hymnals to, I'm sorry, into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You might remember that last week we continued our study in Romans chapter 12 that we had started at the beginning of the year, and we are speaking of transformational living and transformational thinking. We saw that one of the ways that God uses is to he gives his people gifts. And we saw the purposes of those gifts. We saw that He's given us those gifts so that we would not be conformed to the world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And He's given us, each one of us, gifts. There's not a one here that is born again that doesn't have a spiritual gift. We said that these gifts are to be used, and that the most natural and normal way to use gifts are to use them selfishly. But yet God calls us not to use them selfishly. In fact, when we come to the accounting of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, the very next chapter is the love chapter. There he says that love doesn't seek its own, but love seeks to minister to others. But we also saw that in Ephesians 4, that the purpose of the gifts were for the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we might have unity, that we might know Christ, that we might mature in our faith, that we might be like Christ, and that we might have sound doctrine. You say, well then, why are we going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Well, last week we told you there are four places in the New Testament that speak of the gifts. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. And so we want to we also told you last week that there were three types of gifts. There were the sign gifts, the speaking gifts, and the serving gifts. And I want to deal, before we get to the speaking and serving gifts, with the sign gifts this morning. And the reason that I want to deal with the sign gifts this morning is because there is great misunderstanding concerning the sign gifts, great misunderstanding what the purpose of the sign gifts are. And I came across something that providentially I believe that the Lord used to confirm that this indeed was what He would have me share with you this morning. So if we'll look at the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit to another faith, by the same Spirit to another the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit to another the gifts of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But these all worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. May the Lord add His blessing to this portion of His Word, and may we look to the Lord. Father, we're thankful that Your Word endures forever. We know that the things of this earth perish, but Father, it is the only thing that remains. And we ask You, Father, that You would cause us to pay heed to Thy Word, and that, Father, we would be rejoice in Your Word, and, Father, that we would govern our lives by Thy Word. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Even though the book of 1 Corinthians comes after the book of Romans in our Bibles, the book of 1 Corinthians was written earlier. And so we see when we come to the book of Romans that the sign gifts are not mentioned anywhere in the book of Romans as it mentions the gifts. And I believe that that is because, and we'll see it in just a moment, that already that the sign gifts were petering out. They were lessening. They were not in effect. And we'll look at that in a minute. The first thing that I'd like to answer for you is, what are the sign gifts? What are the sign gifts? And you might say, well, why were the sign gifts interspersed and intermingled with all the other gifts that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I think simply it was because that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the sign gifts were still operative. The Word of God was not completed. The New Testament canon, the New Testament books were not written at this time yet. And so we have here the sign gifts that are given, and that is, number one, the gift of healing. Now, folks, let me tell you this morning that I believe that God heals. And I believe that God heals miraculously. But God does not heal in direct relation of someone coming and putting his hand on you and saying, you be healed. That gift is finished. It was a temporary gift. We'll see in a minute why it was a temporary gift. And although we believe that God still can and does heal, and I have witnessed some of those healings, but it is not in the sense that we have in the New Testament Scriptures. The second gift that is a sign gift is that of miracles. Again, let me quickly say that God still does miracles. God can still do miracles. But there is no person that has that gift, that spiritual gift of miracles today. Thirdly, is the kinds of tongues. It talks about, it says, kinds of tongues. And the speaking in tongues, I will just tell you this morning, if we could, we don't have the time, but we could go to Acts chapter 2, and the Bible defines for us what speaking in tongues is. That is the speaking. The other day I was talking with somebody and with Samuel, and I said, that's not his mother tongue. English is not his mother tongue. He can speak, I think, five languages, but his mother tongue is not English. He has a very good comprehension, and he has a very good presentation of English, but it is not his mother tongue. What am I talking about? Some tongue that his mother gave him or something like that? We're talking about languages. And Acts chapter 2 makes it very clear that the tongues that the apostles spoke in were languages. And then fourthly, the sign gift is that of the interpretation of tongues. Well, if tongues have ceased and if there's no longer the purpose and the need for tongues, we know that there would not be any need for an interpretation of tongues. And so I've given you a definition of sorts of the gifts. I've listed the gifts. The gift of healing was the ability for an apostle to go and to heal somebody by word or by direction. Miracle, same type of thing. The kinds of tongues was being able to speak a language that they had not prepared themselves, that they had not studied. This week, someone put on Facebook a young girl who was about 10 or 11 years of age speaking before a crowd of people. She was very talented and she was a very gifted speaker. She was exhorting the people to speak in tongues and then proceeded to speak in what she thought was tongues. It was a sad spectacle because this girl had such obvious talent, but was so obviously deceived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you'll turn over there with me, we're going to look just at the sad spectacle was that if in fact the gift of tongues were still for today, she was still in such gross violation of Scripture for when it was in force that it was very sad. In verse 9 it says, so likewise, 14:9, so likewise ye, except ye utter by tongue words easily to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? And you can go on and see other verses there that God is interested in speaking intelligently to us. He wants us to understand His Word. Folks, frankly, that's why we have the Bible in English. God wants you to know what His Word says. And so the Bible, the New Testament, was written in what language? It was written in Greek. Now, there are a few people here that probably could make out some Greek words. There's probably some people here that could read the Greek New Testament, but I would probably submit to you that by and large, you cannot speak Greek. You cannot, even if I can read it, it doesn't necessarily mean that I even understand it. And even if I can understand it, that doesn't mean I understand the nuances of it. And so God has given His Word in our language so that we can understand it. And the purpose even of tongues was to give, well, I'll tell that in just a moment, but there is to be understanding. Look at verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. The purpose was for edifying. Let me tell you something. That little girl, there was no edifying there because when she started speaking in what she called tongues, there was no understanding. There was no edifying. Look at verse number 27. It says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three, at most by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Right there, there's three things that she disobeyed. She said, she was telling everybody, you need to speak in tongues. You need to do it right now. Do it right now. Well, the Scripture says here that it is only to be done one at a time, that only two or three at most are to do it at any one time, and that it is to there was to be an interpreted. None of those things were there in what that little girl was saying to do. And so we see that even when we have what is today called tongues, that most of the time it is done unbiblically, even in the time of the apostles. And the coup de grace is in verse 34. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. Well, the girl obviously was a woman, and she had no business speaking in tongues in the church. There are those that would say that unless you have spoken in tongues, that you are not saved. I've had people call before and ask, is your church filled with the Holy Spirit? And I say, yes, indeed. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 9 tells us that if we don't have the Spirit of God, we are none of His. So either we're not Christians or the Spirit of God is here. And so, brothers and sisters, there's a gross misunderstanding of these things. Can I tell you this morning, and there are people that have caused people to fear and to doubt their salvation because they haven't spoken in tongues. Well, this morning I want to give you three things that reasons why you need not fear that. First of all, if we say that one must speak in tongues in order to be saved, that adds works to salvation, and salvation is by faith alone. And so right there, it rules it out. Number two, over and over again, whether it be in Romans or whether it be in 1 Corinthians, the Scripture says not everybody is going to have all the gifts. It says that. He says they're divided out severally as the Spirit wills. And so not everyone is going to have that gifts. And then thirdly, I believe, and I want to go forth from this place, that these gifts are not operational today. These gifts are not operational to gifts. And so I want to answer the question this morning, and I'm not going to go in detail, but I just want to give some broad strokes. Number one, why are the sign gifts not operational for today? Why are the sign gifts, remember what we said the sign gifts were, it was healing, miracles, the speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The first reason why, and I think the most important reason, and it's a theological reason, number one is that the purpose of the sign gifts has been fulfilled. The purpose of the sign gifts have been fulfilled. Why were these gifts given? And folks, let me, this morning, I am not criticizing these gifts. These gifts God gave to the church. God gave them for a purpose. And when they served their useful purpose, then they were removed and no longer there. And so I'm not criticizing the gifts. I'm criticizing that we are using things that are no longer meant for today. Turn with me, if you will, and this is just going to be going back and forth, so I hope you'll use your Bibles and with me. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 11. First of all, I want us to see what the purpose of Jesus' miracles were. We mentioned, and I said I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it in Sunday school, that when we consider Jesus' miracles, how long did Jesus do miracles for? Jesus only did miracles for 3 years of his 33-year life. And so those miracles were in a very narrow time of Jesus' life. But what was the purpose of Jesus' miracles? There are some what are called pseudepigraphal gospels out there that have accounts of Jesus as a child taking and making pigeons out of clay or birds out of clay and blowing on them and then flying away. Is that why Jesus did miracles? Just to entertain himself? I mean, that's what you and I might do, but Jesus didn't do miracles to entertain himself. Did Jesus do miracles? Now think about this for a moment. Did Jesus do miracles to draw a crowd? No, in fact, when the crowd was there, many times he did miracles. Why? To minister and to feed those miracles. There are 5,000 people. It says 5,000 men, 10,000, 15, 20,000 people. He saw, and it says, the Scripture says that he had compassion on them, and he fed them. In John chapter 2, verse 11, here it says, this beginning of miracles. How do I know that Jesus didn't do miracles before he was 30 years of age? Right here. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth his glory, and his disciple believed on him. I want you to see two things here. First of all, he began his miracles at the miracle of the turning the water into wine there at the marriage of Cana of Galilee. And then secondly, the reason that he did the miracles was to manifest his glory. Turn with me now to John chapter 20, the end of that book. John chapter 20. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book. We don't have a full accounting of Jesus' miracles. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing that ye might have life through his name. So we have the purpose of the miracles is that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ. A demonstration that Jesus is God. A demonstration that Jesus is who he said he was. Now, if you turn just a couple pages over in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. This is Peter speaking. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How was he approved by God? Or how was he demonstrated by God among you? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. And so it was to authenticate who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. That was the purpose. So we have the purpose of Jesus' miracles. Now let's look at the purpose of the apostles' miracles. In that same passage there in Acts chapter 2, it was going down to verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So we see that the apostles were doing these signs. I want you to think with me, these miracles, these signs were not done generally by the Christian population, but they were done by the apostles. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And again, this is a support of the postulation that I'm making. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And just for interest, go keep going. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that the least that the shadow of Peter's passing by might overshadow some of them. And so we see here that it was the apostles that were doing these miracles, that were doing these healings. Now I want you to turn over back to our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 12. 2 Corinthians, well, that's not our text. Our text was 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so we see that the signs and wonders and mighty deeds were signs of an apostle. And the last one for this section anyway, in Hebrews, if you keep going on in your Bibles, back towards the end of your Bibles, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. These were the ones that heard him. These were the apostles that heard these things that God then gifted in order to spread his gospel, to make confirmation of their message and of their office and who they were. In 1 John chapter 1, this is just sort of an aside. 1 John chapter 1, we see that John says that the life was manifested, this is verse 2 of John 1 John chapter 1, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And so we see that John was with Jesus. He was with the Messiah. The apostles were with the Messiah. And Jesus sent them out. He commissioned them to go out. And He said, "You go out and you preach the gospel to every nation." And He gave them this ability of miracles and wonders and healings in order to authenticate their message. Just as a thought, we said that the reason why the sign gifts are not operational today is because the purpose of them has been fulfilled. And we see that purpose has already been fulfilled even during the lifetime of the apostles. Let me give you just three illustrations of that. You remember when Eutychus, everybody know who Eutychus was? He was one of the young men that fell asleep. There may be some there. The house was so full, they were sitting up. He was sitting in the windowsill. He fell asleep, and he fell down dead out of the window. Now, we don't see the group of company of people going around and healing, but we see who? Paul goes and heals him. It was a work of the apostles. And so that more or less shows that it was the work of the apostles. I'm going to give you the withdrawing in just a moment. All right, so secondly, the reason why the sign gifts are not operational today is, what was the purpose of tongues? What was the purpose specifically of tongues? If you will turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 21. "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." And so first, we said that the sign gifts are not operational for today because their purpose has been fulfilled. Secondly, we look at what is the purpose of tongues, and the purpose of tongues was to be a sign to non-believing Jews. And we see in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, that the sign of tongues was given, and they heard in their own languages the gospel being presented. And it was a sign for the non-believing Jews. Thirdly, as we mentioned, tongues were real languages, and that what is going on today in our society is not real languages. Anybody just listening and hearing knows that. Fourthly, revelation is now complete. The revelation of God's word is complete. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, 6, 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you." And then, just keep that in mind. Turn to 16, John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." We see that the Spirit, Jesus told the apostles, the Spirit of God will come and He will lead you, He will guide you into all truth. And once that all truth was written, we no longer have need for any of these sign gifts. The purpose of the gifts was in order to authenticate the office and the ministry of those ones. In Jude chapter 3, it says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We are told in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, that the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church. Once the foundation is laid, there is no further need for the revelatory gifts. And then, lastly, under this point anyway, on Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 18, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book." And fifthly and lastly, the reason why the gifts are not operable today is that Scripture indicates that the sign gifts were waning even in the times of the apostles. In the book of Timothy, he tells Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. Why did not Paul say, Timothy, be healed? Timothy, just believe. Timothy, have better faith, have more faith. He says, you got a stomach problem? Take a little wine, take a little medicine. Perhaps one of the most surprising passages in Scripture is 2 Timothy 4:12, when he says, 4:20, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Think about that, folks. If the Apostle Paul had the gift of healing, and if it is God's will that everybody be healed, why did, first of all, he not heal Trophimus? And secondly, he could have at least stayed with Trophimus. He could have at least been a comfort to Trophimus. But he says, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. And so we see that even in the days of the apostles, these miraculous gifts were being withdrawn. Turn with me. I love this passage. And for years, I never noticed it. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. You know, we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. We need to see the harmony of Scripture. I'm going to start at verse 25. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and my fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Why would Paul have sorrow upon sorrow if he could have healed him? Why would he? You see, first of all, it's not God's will to heal each and every person. It's not God's will that everybody gets. Sometimes it's God's will for us to go to glory. Is that a bad thing? I hope you don't think it's a bad thing. And so we see that this gift was being withdrawn slowly but surely. And then lastly, in James chapter 5, James doesn't tell the elders of the church, go heal people. He says, go pray for them. Go pray for them. And so the gift of healing was slowly but very surely just was withdrawn. And so Scripture indicates that the sign gifts were waning even in the days of the prophets or the apostles. If the limitations in 1 Corinthians 14 were followed, it would dismiss 95% of all supposed tongue speaking. The purpose of the gifts were to authenticate the message of Christ and the apostles. Once the Word of God was completed, there was no further need for the authentication of the message. The Word of God is now used to authenticate the message. When somebody gives a message, you want to know if it's true, you know, want to know if it's right, you go to the Word of God. You check it by the Word of God. That is the authentication of any message. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit are for the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we might be united together, that we might know Christ, that we might be mature, that we might be like Christ, that we might have sound doctrine. May we use the gifts that God has given to us for today in that manner. And we'll speak on that in the time to come. But I want to close with this. May we use the tongue that we have to proclaim the glories of our God. May we use our tongue that we have to share God's word, to proclaim the glories of His grace. Let us pray. Father, this morning we have taking a wide range. And we pray that if nothing else, that your people would come away with a confidence in the Word of God, an assurance that the Word of God is sufficient and is complete. And Father, we ask you that you would cause us to hear it, to heed it, and Father, to proclaim it. We ask you, Father, that we would teach the truth in love, that we would share these things even in love, not in arrogance, not in superiority, but Father, in those that have found bread, sharing bread with others. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.